Welcome to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine Show. Each month, broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer and naturopathic medical doctor, researcher, and global health educator Dr. Donice Warden bring you the latest news and research from leading-edge science and new integrative medicine to help you outsmart cancer, chronic disease, aging, and more. Here's your hosts, Dr. Donice Warden and Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello, and welcome to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine Show, co-hosted by me, Sandy Sedgbeer.
And by me, Dr. Donice Warden. And this month, we're going to be discussing how you can improve your overall health and your sex life with something that is free.
Which is very welcome news, considering how much money is invested in the average person's quest for better sex, better health, better looks, better sleep, energy, fitness, and better yet, who would have thought that a key to all of these betters can be found in something that's so integral to our life, we rarely even give it a second thought. I'm talking, of course, about our breath.
And in fact, the way you breathe when awake and asleep can not only negatively affect your looks by altering the shape and the position of your teeth, your chin, and your bone structure, but also increase your weight by reducing your body's ability to burn fat, spoil your love life by reducing your stamina, your blood flow, and your sexual enjoyment, affect your heart rate and intensify fear and anxiety, and maybe even shorten your life.
And the good news is, it's never too late to reverse the unhealthy side effects of poor breathing. Joining us tonight is Swedish teacher, author, and founder of ConsciousBreathing.com, Anders Olsson, whose book, The Power of Your Breath, reveals some simple yet profoundly effective techniques that have helped thousands of people discover how easy it is to change their lives for the better, simply by changing how they breathe. Anders Olsson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy.
Hi, Anders. Dr. Warden here. And I understand it's currently 1 a.m. in the morning for you, and I know it's midnight for Sandy. So talk about dedication. It's going to be a piece of cake for those of us in the U.S. And Anders, you and I met at a Quest Nutrition retreat when you were teaching the group about oxygen and carbon dioxide and the importance of proper breathing. And we were experimenting with some of your novel devices, and we were testing and monitoring them. And I want us to get into that, but first, please tell our listeners what prompted you to start studying your breath.
Oh, that was, I read a book, it's called How to Swap Asthma for Life, and I think already after a few pages I realized, oh my God, this is more important than anything, since we take about 1,000 breaths per hour, and that's about 25,000 breaths in a single day. That has the most profound effect on everything in our life, our thoughts, our emotions, our health, our energy, our sleep. So I started to play with my own breath after reading that book and doing breathing retraining, and I realized how that helped me reduce my inner stress levels, my worry, anxiety, and that had been the companion in my life since I was a little kid. It was really a life-changing experience.
So since then, you've become a real passionate breathing nerd, as you describe yourself, and as I hear. You once ran a half marathon with duct tape over your mouth just to show that it's possible to run while only breathing through the nose. What was that like?
Well, that was actually a piece of cake. I mean, once you sort of crack the code and realize that it's not a problem to breathe through your nose, it's maybe in the beginning. It's a startup phase, but that's everything we engage in. If I go to the gym, it's maybe a bit tough the first times, and then I start to reap the benefits and at some point even enjoy it. So that was really not that hard. I just had a duct tape, you know, to get some attention. It was really not that hard.
Well, Anders, I when I was even in medical school, and I didn't know then why, but I was picking up books, you know, the Book of Floating, oxygen therapies. I was interested in hyperbaric oxygen and ozone therapies and these kinds of things. But then I picked up one called Rhythmic Breathing, and it was written and copyrighted in like 1908. And I remember reading it and thinking, why am I interested in this? But why I started it, it was dedicated. The dedication was to defective breathers. And I remember thinking, what does that mean? Why don't you tell us what defective breathing is?
Yeah, I think if we start looking at our own breathing, we will realize it's not really hard to realize that mouth breathing, fast breathing, shallow breathing, unrhythmic breathing, noisy breathing, like when we make all kinds of noise we make. Actually, every sound we make, that's a breath, meaning that we're moving air in and out of our lungs. And it's not hard for anyone to realize that that is not a good breathing. So instead, we just do the opposite. We close our mouth, we slow down our breathing, we breathe low, and we breathe in a quiet and rhythmic fashion. So this is not rocket science. It's dead simple. Probably it's too simple for us to even start paying attention to it when we want to improve our sleep or energy or sex life or whatever.
Right. We want a big pill. You know, the placebo is real. The larger the pill, the more an injection hurts, the better it works. And how could something as simple as breathing work so profoundly? Yeah. But there's a lot of science behind it.
It is.
And that we're doing it wrong.
Actually, it is. I mean, the breath can really take you from being really calm and relaxed to being in a state of panic. So we can go either way. We can go to a state of panic, but we can also go the other way, from panic or fear or worry to a really relaxed state, just by doing something as easy as changing the way we breathe.
And as I was astonished when I read your book, The Power of Your Breath, I had no idea that the way I breathe has influenced the shape of my face, my weight, my immune system, even my sex drive. I want to know more about that and the other benefits too, of course. But sex is a really good place to start. So how does our breathing actually influence our sex drive?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? How could there be a connection? But there really is. In 1998, three gentlemen got the Nobel Prize for their discovery of nitric oxide. It's a gas produced in our body, in the blood vessels and all around in our body. And their discovery led to the development of Viagra, the sex enhancement drug. And Viagra works because it increases the amount of nitric oxide in our body. And around the sex organs, we have a lot of these NO receptors. So when NO comes around and binds to these receptors, it makes the muscles relax so that the penis and clitoris can be filled with blood. And the cool thing is that this gas, nitric oxide, is produced in huge quantities in our nose. So when we do mouth breathing, we do not spike the inhaled air with nitric oxide. So we deprive our body of nitric oxide. But when we breathe when we close our mouth and breathe with our nose, then the NO follows the inhaled air down to the lungs and out into the body. So there is, for example, a research showing this relationship, where they had one group of people, they had nasal polyps, where it's an outgrowth in your nose, so it's really hard to breathe to your nose, so instead you engage in mouth breathing. And in that group where they had nasal polyps, 34% had reduced sexual ability. And in the control group, I think it was 2% that had sexual problems. And when they surgically removed these polyps so that the subjects could start to breathe through their nose, then they improved their sex life. So after the removal, only 10% had problems with their sex life. So, yeah, breathe through your nose and enjoy a greater sex life. That's basically the message here.
Right. And beyond that, you know, the nitric oxide and the vasodilation and more blood flow, but it gets us into a parasympathetic state. And to be able to get into there, you know, and to be able to have an orgasm, actually you have to be into that I'm safe, I'm okay state. And to be conscious, yeah, not just with your conscious breathing, but conscious with your the feeling around you, with your partner, with yourself in that moment, in that intimacy. And if you're not conscious, then it's very difficult to go there, and the breathing allows you to relax and know that you're safe. So I think it's, yeah, it's very important, overlooked for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And we can, I think we can all relate to it. A lot of us, we get lost up in our head. We live our life up in our head. But with our breath, we can basically, it will help us take the elevator down from our head, down into our heart, in our stomach, in our body. So when we engage in this shallow, fast breathing, which is stress breathing, we are not present. We are not safe. But when we then breathe low and slow, relax our breathing, we get more grounded. And for sure, that's related to parasympathetic and also to get an orgasm.
One of the things that impressed me in your book were the visuals. You had some amazing pictures taken by dentists of children whose faces, the jaw, had actually distorted, changed shape because they were breathing through their mouth at night. And this can actually be reversed. How is it that it can be reversed?
Well, the first thing is that the tongue, if we have crooked teeth or overbite or other teeth problems, we get braces. That's quite common for kids to get braces. But the tongue is our major orthodontic appliance. We have it with us 24/7. And the tongue is actually a counterweight because we have the muscles in the lips and the muscles in the lips, they put pressure on the teeth. And if the tongue is not resting in the roof of the mouth, there will be no counterweight for that muscle pressure. And hence, we, instead of having a bite that is more U-shaped, we get kind of a V-shaped bite. So there won't be room for all the teeth. We may need to extract teeth, or they will be crooked. So the tongue's natural position is to rest in the roof of the mouth, just behind the front teeth. And that is the main problem, that when we engage in mouth breathing, the tongue is not in its correct position. So that means that maxilla is not stimulated, it's not developed properly. And also the jaw and the chin may be underdeveloped because their development, they need a point of reference. They need to know how to grow and where to grow. And that point of reference is the maxilla. So the chin and the jaw get that point of reference when the mouth is closed. So basically, there are a few things. It's the breathing, where we should have the mouth closed. It is the way we swallow. And it's also our posture. Those are the major things that determines how the jaw will develop. And I think it's really so sad that parents don't have this knowledge.
Well, I can Sorry, go ahead, Dr. Morgan.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy.
I was just going to say, I can understand how that can get distorted with, you know, if a child is breathing through their nose, through their mouth consistently. But mm-hmm. you advocate taping the mouth. And how is it that just returning to breathing through the nose can actually then reshape that jaw again?
Well, to start with, then you have the tongue in its correct position. And since we swallow about 2,000 times per day. Each time we swallow, the tongue is putting some pressure on the maxilla, and thereby it stimulates the maxilla to grow in width and grow forward. Instead, if the tongue doesn't stimulate the maxilla, there is a risk it will be smaller and grow almost backwards. So we get a smaller face, the teeth, there is not enough room for the teeth. So that's the major mechanism. The tongue stimulates the maxilla, which stimulates the growth of the face, because the maxilla, the teeth, the upper teeth is attached to the maxilla, and this bone, the maxilla, it gives shape to the whole face, because around 80% of the nose is built up of the maxilla, and the maxilla goes all the way up to the eyes. So about 2/3 of the eyes rest in the maxilla, and it goes out to the cheekbones. So if it doesn't meet its genetic potential, then we may end up with a smaller, more narrow face than we were supposed to have. But the good news is, of course, it's more efficient to help a five-year-old child to engage in good breathing habits, swallowing patterns, and a good posture, but in order to develop a beautiful face. But it is also possible for adults, and there is fascinating research showing that even if your genetic potential wasn't developed as a child, you can still, by giving the jaw the right circumstances, start to breathe better, have a more erect posture. These genes can actually start to build, form new bones. And one thing I forgot to mention here, I think a reason why we developed this narrow faces is because we don't chew the food enough. That's a very important thing. We first of all, we are stressed out, so we don't have time to chew the food. And secondly, the food we are eating is far more easy to just swallow than, 5,000 or 10,000 years ago. And basically then, if we don't use it, we lose it, sort of.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you right there, Anders. You're listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show, and tonight we're discussing how you can improve your health, your looks, and your sex life simply by changing the way you breathe. We'll be back with more after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are here with Anders Olsen. Anders, I want to compliment you, and I want our listeners to know about your website. It is amazing. It talks about all of the benefits. You even have a way for them to do a test to test how they're breathing. It's a breathing test. It's brilliant. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that, and that if you want to dig in deeper to what we're talking about helping asthma, pain management, endurance, heart, teeth, all the things that we're talking about in the brain, it's on the website. So I wanted to make sure that we got that out there. But I wanted to ask you, when we got together and I met you, we weren't just talking about oxygen. We were talking a lot about carbon dioxide. In medicine, we think, we were taught that's the bad guy. We're supposed to exhale it and get rid of it. But that's not true, is it?
No, from my point of view, that's as far as you can come from the truth as possible, almost, because carbon dioxide is so important. If we just consider the fact that carbon dioxide controls breathing, our most vital bodily function, then it must be something more than just a simple waste product that we should get out of our body as soon as possible. I mean, I'm surprised how we could have got it so wrong.
right. We're taught at that cellular level. But it's incorrect. Yeah. And
we all... You share that view?
Pardon?
Dr. Wooden, you share that view?
I'm not hearing you, Anders. I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
Do you share that view, that carbon dioxide?
I do share that view, and I was learning a lot from you whenever we were together and watching. You had built a CO2 suit, which is like someone gets in an entire, you look like the Mr. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. And watching, we were monitoring, we were watching these things when you were working with carbon dioxide. So it was fascinating. So, yes, I think the more studies we do, the more we know, we're going to learn a lot more about this exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide and just how important the way we breathe and train ourselves to breathe and get that blood, that oxygen from the blood into the organs and the muscles. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
You mentioned stress as one of the reasons why you first got interested in breathing. In meditation, we're taught to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, and that is supposed to de-stress us and relax us. Is that correct? Because I think what you're saying is we breathe in through the nose and out through the nose.
Well, the conscious breathing concept I formed, it's more about our daily breathing habits. Actually, I've trained in yoga and I've engaged in meditation, and there are a lot of different exercises to achieve. A lot of different breathing exercises to achieve a lot of different results. When giving birth, a lot of people, a lot of women engage, for example, in prophylaxis breathing, which is another type of breathing, and you also exhale through the mouth. So I guess those exercises they are designed to achieve certain results, but I tend to think that it's optimum to breathe in through the nose and out through the nose, because when you inhale through the nose, you warm the air, you moist it, and you clean it from bacteria, and then the air goes down into the lung, and in the lungs there are 37 degrees Celsius body temperature, and it's 100% humidity. So when you exhale that air, you then rewarmed the nose, and you remoist the nose, and the bacteria that got trapped on the inhale, they are then exhaled. So the nose is cleaned and rewarmed and remoist on the exhale through the nose. So if we inhale through the nose gets slightly colder, the nose gets slightly drier, and the nose gets slightly more bacteria in it. So if we inhale through the nose and then exhale through the mouth, we kind of, over time, getting a nose that isn't operating optimally. So that's my take on it. But
nature,
I focus.
That's right. I think our organism was perfectly built to do the way it's to properly function. And part of that is when you study the lungs and you study that the left nostril goes to the right lung, and you look at this and you look at the immune system and you look at the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, it's all connected to that breath. And so I'm with you, Anders. I really think we can experiment with different types of breathing, going in one nostril, out the other, all that. But in general, my patients that come to see me, they don't know how to take a normal breath. They don't know how to breathe from their diaphragm. They're taking these shallow chest breaths. They're not oxygenating themselves. So I'm literally laying them down and teaching them how to put their hand on their belly and learn how to breathe properly from that diaphragm. They've forgotten. And it's imperative. And it helps so many things, from pain management to stress. Tell us about that. I want people to understand how powerful this is with pain management, because I know when my cancer patients have bone metastasis and morphine isn't touching it, breath is the only thing that gets there to that pain. Mm-hmm. Tell us.
Yeah,
why.
I mean, we already touched a little bit about it when giving birth, right? It's very effective as pain management when giving birth. So it just follows the same principles. And one of the things that surprised me the most was when I started to get feedback when people taping their mouth at night and saying, oh, I feel much less pain when I wake up. And then I started thinking about it and realized that if we have our mouth open and we are at rest, we are hyperventilating, which means that we engage in fight flight in the sympathetic part of the nervous system. And we know that what happens with our muscles when we engage in fight flight, they tend to tense up, because we should be able to run away or fight. And if we do that while asleep, no wonder we wake up with sore muscles, pain in our muscles when we have had a tense muscle during our sleep. So I think it follows that principle that when we breathe too much, we tense up our body. And when we engage in a relaxed breathing, we tell our body and our brain that it is safe, we can relax, and then we also relax in our body and we reduce the pain by just relaxing. So that's one aspect. Another aspect, I think, is the electrolyte balance and the water. When we breathe through our mouth, we tend to lose more water. A Swedish study showed that mouth breathing made us lose 42% more water compared to nasal breathing. And the electrolyte balance seems to be affected as well. The magnesium, the calcium, which is very important for muscle function and pain. So they did an interesting study on hens, that the egg-laying hens, they need to have a lot of calcium in order to produce eggs that have that are hard enough in the shell. And they noticed that during the summer, when it was warm in the barn, the eggs got very fragile. So they had to do something about it. And they looked at the hens and they noticed that they were hyperventilating, and because it was too hot, that they needed to get rid of some of the excess heat via their mouth. So they opened their mouth and basically hyperventilated. But that means that they lost too much carbon dioxide. And then the body needs to engage in a mechanism to balance that out. And thereby, we tend to want to pee out more bicarbonate. And when the kidneys produce more bicarbonate to be excreted via the urine, the bicarbonate ion needs to bring with it also a positively charged ion, I think it is, like magnesium or calcium. So they noticed that these hens, they lost too much calcium as a an effect of losing too much carbon dioxide via the out-breath. So the kidneys then produce more bicarbonate is excreted, and together with the bicarbonate, also a calcium is getting lost with the urine. So anyway, they gave these hens carbonated water, which contains carbon dioxide, and the eggshells got harder. Maybe this is a bit of an anecdote, but I think it would be the same principle for humans as well.
I want to talk about sleep, Anders, because from what you've been saying is, you know, if you're not breathing properly, it can actually interfere with sleep. I know that you advocate taping the mouth at night. Would that be something that could be a good remedy for insomnia?
I think so, but the first rule is because the most common question I get is, oh, I won't survive that. I will never try that. And then I say, well, don't do it. I mean, the whole purpose with conscious breathing is to reduce stress, not induce more stress.
And I have to admit, Anders, I thought that too. I thought in the night that we all were there, and you sent us home with our tape. It was. I don't know how this is going to feel. And I'm not a mouth breather, but I wanted the ability. Was I going to feel like I was suffocating? It did not. It was restful. I think it's wonderful. And so I want to let our listeners know, don't be afraid. It's not going to kill anyone.
it's not because our respiratory drive. it's really extremely powerful, our respiratory drive.
Yes.
We will wake up for sure. But the thing is, I think it is to start then, if you feel, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do this, start during a few evenings to get more relaxed about the idea and get some experience and get your body used to the new the tape mouth. But
Anders, they can also use your rebreather tool. That's conscious. They're awake and they're using that. Tell us about that quickly so that they understand that there's something and exercises they can do when they're awake.
Right, yeah. I've developed a breathing retrainer, the Relaxator, which helps us basically to slow down our breathing and breathe lower and increase the pressure in our lungs so we can improve the oxygenation of the blood and also have a more rhythmic breathing. But because it seems like a lot of us, when we, for example, office workers, when we engage in different tasks where we concentrate, we stop breathing. For some reason, we just stop breathing, or we move up our breath higher up in our chest. And a lot of people report that they feel more endurance when they use this Relaxator. They can go on for longer, concentrate longer. I just got a note the other week from an author saying, wow, I've been using the Relaxator now for the last 3 months. It's my new best friend because I'm so much more productive when I'm writing on my book. So, yeah, it's a nice tool to have. You can have it in your car, at the computer, in front of the TV, or a lot of different situations.
I've enjoyed it, My patients have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anders, can you tell our listeners about your breathing retraining classes?
Yeah, sure. I have this instructor course. I've trained about 700 breathing instructors around the world. And we talk about it. We look at our health and our thoughts and our emotions from a breathing perspective. We talk then about sleep and blood pressure, the heart function, circulation, sleep, cancer, athletic performance from a breathing perspective, and see how that often forgotten piece of information is very important, as it contributes to overweight or low energy. And it's the course seems to be quite popular. They seem to enjoy it because we take the bigger picture approach, where we also talk about communication, because you can easily tell if a person is breathing poorly by listening to how they talk. If they talk fast and interrupt, and for sure that they have poor breathing habits, and then you can be a better communicator, a better listener, just by improving your breathing habits slightly, for example. So we that's a 6 month course, 12 lessons, 2 hour per lesson. We do it via webinar, and then they get a homework after each lesson, and a lot of exercises. I like that, to test the theory in practice.
Anders, we appreciate all that you're doing in reminding us of the basics of life, and tying it in spiritually as well as physically, and giving us the science. And just, I want you to know that we appreciate you. And I want to quote Shakespeare for a minute. He said, "I am in health, I breathe." And there are many others, but I want our listeners to know, and know the depth and how much. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about it a little bit more, Sandy and I are. And we will let them know more about you, but we appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Anders Olsen, thank you for being with us today. You're listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show, and tonight we've been discussing how you can improve your health, your looks, and your sex life by changing the way you breathe with founder of ConsciousBreathing.com and author of The Power of Your Breath, Anders Olsen. We'll be back with more after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nsombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Fascinating conversation and a fascinating topic. And I don't know about you, Dr. Walden, but when I first came across Anders' book, one of the things that I said to him is, you talk about improving our sex life, and yet you want me to take my mouth at night. What's that going to do for my sex life?
Right. People don't care about anything else. Well, they kind of do, but that's a big one. That is a big one. That is true.
But, you know, but seriously, though.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, seriously, I mean, how do you use these principles in your practice? And have you asked any of your, you know, patients if they'd like to take their mouth at night?
Right, I have. And, you know, it depends on the patient when they're ready to hear something. If they're new to me, you know, I've got to make sure they understand me, that I'm science-based, but I'm also spiritual. And so, I've got to be in the space where they are. So I'm not pushing them to an extreme of something they're not ready for. But most people get it that they, and when I tell them that, listen, you should be breathing about 10 to 12 breaths per minute, and most people are 18 or more, which means they're breathing very inefficiently. They're breathing for three or four people. They get it. And then I say, when you learn to calm this down, when you can bring your breath down, slower and deeper and do the right kind of breathing, it's going to help your pain. It's going to help you lose weight. It's going to help your busy mind of yours that you can't get under control. You're going to be able to help your mood, more energy and endurance. And then they say, okay, and they get it. You know, they don't even have to hear the science. They do believe that. They know that. And then I have them do it with me. And a perfect example, I had a young contractor. He has two young children, owns his own business, contractor. He came in. He was complete mess. And his big things were, I'm anxious. I feel like I'm starting to have panic attacks, and I have no libido. So he said, do you have a pill for it? I said, no, but you do. And so I said, let's do an exercise together. Will you do this with me? And I was kind of pushing it, Sandy. I didn't know how much this guy, I knew him well enough, this patient, to think I could go there. And I said, do you trust me? And he said, yes. And I said, let's do this. And we breathed together. Long, slow breath, doing an exercise up through the feet and out through the butt. You know, it was a guided meditation type thing. I didn't call it meditation. Wasn't ready for that. He was ready for stress reduction. When we got through, he said, with his sigh, with his breath, he said, I know that I can be better now. I can feel myself now. I can feel myself again. So it's powerful. And yes, I use it in my practice a lot.
I have to say, I really was impressed when I read Anders' book. And looking at his website and the wealth of articles he's got there and information, it's very compelling evidence. I mean, the number of people who have literally turned their lives around.
Right. You know, we're talking respiratory. People come in and they say, well, I have asthma, or I've got, how many people have sleep apnea and they're on the CPAP machines? How many of them are snoring and nobody can get any sleep in the whole house because of them? Many of these things can be helped. Now, it doesn't mean you throw away your inhaler. It doesn't mean that you put yourself at risk, but it means that you start during your day paying attention to your breath, strengthening your diaphragm, that muscle that has gotten lazy, like many of the other muscles in your body. You start retraining, and then at night, if they start taping and learning and teaching themselves to breathe through their nose, they wake up more rested, and we can help many things. You know, we look at respiratory disease. Some people say, oh, it's just if you're a food specialist, they say it's food. If it's a chiropractor, you need to adjust, you know, the vertebrae. If you are a Chinese herbalist, maybe you have to give them a certain herb. No, maybe it's just we've forgotten how the body is designed, how we should be breathing and lying and moving, and it knows what to do. The body is amazing. When we give it what it needs and take out what it doesn't, and a big piece of what it needs are these low, slow, rhythmically, you know, succinct breaths to help our body be in this state of parasympathetic where it can heal.
You know, I've heard it said that babies naturally breathe correctly. So what
That's
happens
correct.
To change that?
Right. Well, babies are laying down a lot. You know, they're not walking. They're not upright. They're laying down. And so when they lay down, and that's why I have adult patients lay down to learn how to breathe again. And I say, make your tummy go up and down just like you watch a baby breathing. And they get it, the visual, because they remember, you know, they can see that baby moving. That the back is stable. It's laying on the ground, on a bed. So the back can't go anywhere. So the only way it can breathe is using that diaphragm going up. As we start walking, as we're upright, and we start talking too fast, and we start moving too fast, and we get anxious, and we just don't exercise that diaphragm, that muscle, it gets lazy, and we start just kind of doing this up in the chest breathing, which doesn't do a lot for us. If you, Sandy, watch an opera singer, you're not going to see them raise their shoulders or their chest when they take that big breath for that long note. They're using their diaphragm because that oxygenates and brings in more than they possibly could through this little shallow upper breath. So I literally take patients and I put their hands on me because it's the easiest way to teach it. And I have them put their hands on my sides and then on the front of the back, and I do a proper breath. And it feels like a balloon. When they feel how much my rib cage expands, they have this shocked look on their face. And I said, this is the way the body should be moving and how you should be breathing. My chest is not going up and down. My shoulders are not moving. And I can make that breath go in the front, in the belly, in the back. I can move that, and I can make the sides expand. And they can't believe how much. And I said, now, you can learn this. You just need to practice it.
Well, answer this one for me. We talk about weight, and, you know, over and over again, we hear that breathing properly and taking in sufficient oxygen can actually help you with your weight. How is it then that most opera singers are not slender?
Well, probably they just eat too much and don't move enough. really. It's that there's something more important. It's their voice and their you know, I don't want to stereotype anyone. There are some thin opera singers, but the other thing is, you have to have, like, a cello has a deeper, bigger sound than a violin does because it's a bigger instrument. So if their body and that hollow cavity, in general, they're bigger people. They have a more resonance going on. They've got a bigger instrument with a louder sound, just like a violin to a cello. So that's part of it, too. It's just maybe that larger people that are built larger to start with just have better sound and become the ones that we all know. So, you know, you have to have oxygen to burn fat. You can't burn fat without it. And so that's why, you know, we say we should exercise to burn fat. It's this whole oxygen exchange. But I would say this. I think most athletes, now the endurance ones that are going long distances, they know how to conserve, and they probably do a better job. But some don't. They can do a short fast, but it's difficult for them. But I teach my patients to do interval training, and we've talked about this on this show before. I'm not talking about an hour on the treadmill. I'm talking about 1 minute hard, 1 minute slow, 1 minute hard, slow for about 4 to 6 reps. And if you tape your mouth when you're doing that, you get more benefit. It works better. So we don't have to work as hard or as long. We just need to be smarter. And it was Anders that taught me about the mouth taping. You know, I knew proper breathing. I knew how to breathe because I was a voice teacher at one point 100 years ago, too. But so I knew how to breathe, and I knew that the importance of it. But I didn't know about this mouth taping, and it's I think everyone should try it at least once. And it's a good experiment to know if you're most of the time breathing through your nose. If you're panicked when you do it, it's because you've gotten used to being a mouth breather, and that's not good. So do it when you exercise and tape when you sleep.
Yeah, now this conference you were at when you met Anders, I mean, there were some pretty big names in the health industry there. Why is everybody so interested all of a sudden then in breathing?
Well, they'd heard about Anders' work and his book. And the owners of Quest said, I want to know more about this because these guys work a lot in the athletic world. They work a lot with the ketogenic world. So whether it's cancer or whether it's athletes, it's the same diet, it's the same regime, and guess what? It's the same way to breathe. So we're always looking for ways that don't cost, that people can do, that we can see benefit, scientific benefit. And, you know, they're about backing research. And so whenever Anders and his partner brought in this big suit that one of the owners got in, and they blew it up full of CO2, and it did look like Mr. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And, you know, we were watching. What could he do? They also had a mask that they put on several of us, and we were monitoring our vitals, our O2 stats. We were monitoring all this, and what was kind of interesting, some of these really big, athletic, that's all their trainers or that's their life, they couldn't leave that higher CO2 on for very long. But it was interesting. Here I am, older, female, you know, small, petite, and I could hold that CO2. I could go to a higher level and do more of it than they could. So we have a lot to learn. We really do, about what does this mean? But I do have a high metabolism, so there's a lot of things to think about. But it was fun because this group is about what do we know right now and what do we need to know and what do we need to study. And what do we need to put money behind to research it?
So what were their takeaways from this, and what are some of them going to do about this now?
Right. So we all went to bed the first night and taped our mouths, right? And then the next day, during the seminar, we had some other lectures, but most of it was Anders. We were using his device that you breathe in. So we were all experimenting with that. So we were either taping, or we were using that device, or we were over there breathing in high levels of CO2. I do not do this at home, kids, but we were monitoring ourselves. I'm a doctor. We had other doctors. We were watching. So everyone knew that we need to learn more, and I will tell you that most of the people that were there, I'll bet they're still taping, and if not, still using the device, very simple, very inexpensive, during their day, especially when they start to get anxious about something or upset. You just pick that up off your desk, and it makes you exhale more deeply and more slowly, and it calms you right down, better than doing many other things that people do to try to relax in the moment. So I know, and we've continued some emails, and I see them come by, and these athletic trainers and these athletes are reporting back with amazing results of following his program. And, Anders' five rules, which are the rules that are tried and true since ancient times, since Sanskrit, is that it needs to, when you breathe, it should be quiet. It should be through your nose. It should be a steady rhythm. It should be slow and low. Low means down in that diaphragm, not high like I was talking about before. And that gets you right out of that fight or flight. And when we talk about cancer or any of the chronic diseases, Sandy, that you and I are boosting this show for, to say this is who we want, we want people to be able to hear this, breathing is imperative, and relaxation and getting out of stress is imperative for them to heal any of those health issues that they're dealing with, no matter what else they're doing. It should be breathing correctly.
I've been speaking a lot, over the last few years to people who are working with children. They're taking meditation into classes. They're taking mindfulness into classes. They're taking emotional freedom technique into classes. Seems to me that breathing would be a very good thing to take into the classroom and help the children while they're still very young to breathe properly.
Absolutely. And, we've used music in that way, too, because music, even if they're not conscious of that it's in the background, it just can calm them down, too. A lot of the teachers will turn that on before the hyperactive, especially kids, come in, calms it down. But just guess what, Sandy? What if they were, then we said, listen to the music and let's breathe. Let's breathe slow. Let's do this together. Those kinds of techniques are teaching them something they can do in the moment. And if they're starting to focus on the wrong things and it's too hard for them to get into their breath, if we connected that with the rhythm from music or some kind of rhythmical device, I think children would absolutely eat it up and love it, and it would help them.
I'm sure it would. And, if it's true that poor breathing is going to be distorting their faces before they even start, I mean, they're still at school is the best time to get them.
That's exactly right. Well, the best time is to get these parents so they understand, watch your babies and start working with your children in proper breathing. That means maybe you get up in the morning, and this is what we tell people all the time, Sandy, is begin your day and end your day in a beautiful state. And that means you're going into your breath, you're feeling your breath. And just like the contractor that I talked about before, I said, don't just do this for yourself. You may need some time, a moment alone, but why aren't you teaching your 2-year-old and your 4-year-old this right now, and your wife? Why isn't the entire family in the morning, beginning your day and ending your day in this peaceful way and breathing together? And he liked that idea, and I think they will. And I have many patients that do this. So it's not, you don't have to be an expert meditator. You don't have to be able to clear your mind. You don't have to do guiding. You don't have to do anything. But just to be able to focus on that breath. And I when Anders was talking about the science behind this, it just brought home what we all already know. It's intuitive. Everyone knows. That relaxed baby, watching it sleep, in rhythm with that belly going, beautiful. And we all want to go back to that, don't we, Sandy? Remember, we're taking a nap and there's no care in the world. We're going to be fed and our diaper changed.
So, well, considering,
we go back there.
Well, considering, you know, it's the most important thing, it's the very thing that keeps us alive, we might as well get it right.
That's exactly right. And you know, I think that we get so much into technology. We get so much into what's the newest thing and the best thing and something I can buy or do. And we tend to forget basic nature, getting outside in the sun, good clean water, good clean air, sleeping well, breathing right. These are things that are near and dear to us.
Well, that's a wrap for this week. For more information about Anders Olsen, his breathing retraining program, and his book, The Power of Your Breath, visit consciousbreathing.com. That's all from Truth in Medicine this month. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
And I'm Dr. Donnie Warden. And if you want to know more how to live in the healthiest way and not fear cancer and chronic diseases, join us the last Thursday of every month. We plan to educate, empower, and enlighten you with information so new, you may be leading your doctor.
That's it from us. The theme tune for this show is from an original